Today we are going to be kicking off our Missions Month. And so if you are new to our church, in the fall, and the reason why it's called the Missions Month, because it's not necessarily on a specific month, right? Because it's almost November, but not quite yet. But it's for about 4 weeks. And we take some time to really focus on God's heart for the nations. And so one of the things that I really want to encourage all of us, regardless of whether you're a student or working adult, if you ever transition out of our church because you move to a different city or whatnot, I want you to know what the Great Commission is. The Great Commission comes from Matthew 28 when Jesus says, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then he tells his disciples what? "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." How do we do that? By baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the earth. And so when you think about this commission that Jesus gives to every single one of us, it's not just for those unfortunate few, right? They're the missionaries, and they get to go to, they have to go to a different culture to do the work that maybe you and I are a little bit suspect of, and we don't necessarily want to do. But Jesus makes it very clear that this commission is for every single one of us, regardless of whether you're a student, working, regardless of whether you're single, married with kids, regardless of whether you're a dentist, a teacher, an admin, regardless of what your profession is, regardless of whether you're in elementary school all the way to, you know, you're about to retire, that this is Jesus' commission for all of us. And we want to take some time to be reminded of not just this commission, but how this impacts every single one of our lives. And the reality is that not every single one of us are going to go, per se, to a different culture, a different nation, a different people group. But every single one of us need to embrace this great commission that Jesus has for us. And so for the next 4 weeks, we want to try to weave this into our sermon, and especially in light of the series that we're doing of being bold, I think this really fits into that understanding of what it means to be bold and understanding Jesus' commission for us. And so not only do we want to spend some time going through the Word of God, but we want to use various visual mediums as well. And so for the next 3 weeks, we want to show some videos that highlight really missions and really the heart of what missions is, but how we can understand it in our specific context. And, you know, there's many wonderful ministries that we get to, well, I was going to say partner with, but not really because they don't really know who we are, right? But we get to use their resources. That's probably the better way to put it. And so I want to show this video for us, and this is from Radical Ministry. And they do a really good job of just capturing the heart of what missions is through various visual mediums and so forth. And I think this video will really help us to glimpse not only how we can understand the movement of missions and how that has evolved, but also where we are now as the global church. And so let's go ahead and watch this video together. And I think that video really gives us a good insight, because when you think about missions, it's no longer about the people from the West sending missionaries to the rest of the world, but it's people from everywhere reaching people who are everywhere. That missions is really our heritage. Regardless of what cultural background that we are from, that every single one of us are commissioned to go and to make disciples of all nations. And they do such a good job of capturing just this journey that we've been through as the global church. And the reality is the work is not yet fulfilled. That there is still work to be done. That there's still people all over the world who are dying without ever hearing the name of Jesus. Let alone even that opportunity to decide for themselves whether they want to respond to the gospel message or not. So this is not just something that a few people in the church needs to wrestle with, but this is the calling that Jesus has for the global church. So how do we get to a point in our lives where missions is no longer a call for the few? But how do we get to a point in our lives where all of us, that we will respond in one way or another, in one form or another, respond to Jesus' calling for us to go and to make disciples of all nations? And that's where today's passage comes into focus for us. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke. We want to look at Luke chapter 9. Starting from verse 18, and we'll go all the way down to 26. Luke chapter 9, verse 18 through 26. This is the word of God for us this morning. It says, "Now it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him. And he asked them, 'Who do the crowds say that I am?' And they answered, 'John the Baptist, but others say Elijah, and others that one of the prophets of old has risen.' Then he said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' And Peter answered, 'Christ, the Christ of God.' And he strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, 'The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised.' Then he said to all, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in all in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels.'" Let's stop there. As we look into today's passage, the one thing that I want to give us simply is this, that we must daily embrace Jesus' call for us to follow him. That we must daily embrace Jesus' call for us to follow him. And I think this is a familiar passage for many of us, right? We've heard sermons on Jesus calling for us to deny ourselves, to pick up the cross, and to follow him. And sometimes, if we're honest with ourselves, this challenge that Jesus speaks into our lives, sometimes it becomes more burdensome than a joy. Because it's about denying ourselves, or at least we think that it's about not being able to say yes to the things that I really want, not being able to enjoy my life, right? But it's so important for us to understand this in the greater context of what Jesus is inviting us to. And I want to break this down into the progressions that we see, because it starts, this challenge that Jesus gives his disciples, that you follow me, you take up your cross every single day. It actually starts with Jesus asking his disciples a very important question. And that question leads to the kind of Messiah that he is going to be, and that ultimately challenging us to think about what it means to follow him. And so let's think about this question that he asks his disciples. Verse 18 through 20. And so he starts by asking them, who do the crowd say that I am? Because as Jesus' ministry is gaining momentum, and they've never seen anything like what they are experiencing, right? In Matthew 7, 20 through 29, it tells us, "And when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes." So it's not that their scribes weren't preaching through the word, but he was preaching as one who had authority, and they were astonished. And not just the common people who were listening to Jesus, but also those who were in authority. So in Luke 9, 7, we hear, "Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was happening, and he was perplexed." Right? Even the ruler of this land of Judea, he was perplexed at who Jesus was. And so responding to this question, his disciples let Jesus know who the crowds think that he is. In verse 19, "And they answered him, 'John the Baptist, but others say Elijah, and others the one of the prophets of old has risen.'" Right? In other words, they're saying, Jesus, they have no clue as to who they think you are. They think you're one of the prophets. And then we see Jesus digging a little bit deeper, because it's not just a question for the masses. And it's interesting, because when you think about just even the society at large, there's so many different answers to this question of who do you think Jesus is. Some people think that he was a good religious teacher. Others think that he kind of paved the way for us and taught us how to live. But he goes a little bit deeper down and he says what? "But who do you say that I am?" Because it's not necessarily about the popular opinion that matters, but it's about you understanding who Jesus is. And I would argue that this is one of the most important questions that we could possibly wrestle with in our lives. Because depending on how we answer this question, it's going to shape the way that we follow Jesus. Who do you say that I am? Not only this question, but we see the example that Jesus lays for us. To which Peter answers, right? The Christ of God. That title, Christ, meaning that you are the Messiah. You are the Savior who was to come. And so when Peter declares the Christ of God, that you are the Messiah, listen to what Jesus says about this Messiah who is to come. Verse 22. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. The Son of Man, it's another title for the Messiah. We see that from the book of Daniel. So Jesus is letting everyone know, hey, I am the Messiah that you've been waiting for. But I'm not the Messiah that you were necessarily expecting because I am a Messiah who will be killed and raised from the dead. In other words, he's saying, I am the Messiah that the prophet Isaiah has actually prophesied about. In Isaiah 53, 4 through 6, we read, for surely he was born, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all, that he is the suffering servant who came. Now, this would have been very different from what Peter and the rest of the disciples were expecting the Messiah to be, because they were expecting a Messiah who would come to liberate them from foreign oppression, from the oppression of the Romans, and to reestablish the kingdom of Israel once again. But Jesus says, no, I've come to liberate you, not necessarily from foreign oppression, but from your sins, and to usher into the land a kingdom of God, a kingdom that is greater than your expectations. That he is the Messiah who came to serve us by going to the cross and dying for our sins. And then he says, if this is the example that I established for you, then here is my expectation for you. And he goes on in verse 23. And he said to them, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Right, this concept of denying yourself to pick up your cross and to follow him, it's not so that you can deny yourself for the sake of denying yourself. But it's because we understand the revelation of who Jesus is. And the Apostle Paul, he makes it very clear this revelation of Jesus is. In Philippians 2, he says, he was one who was God. Yet he took on the form of a servant. He was born in the likeness of men. He became like us. And he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He's a Savior who came to lay down his life for our sake. Savior who came to serve. Savior who exemplified what it meant to live his life in obedience. And so it's from this revelation that Jesus tells his disciples, hey, if you would come after me, then you must become like me. That you deny yourself, you take up your cross daily and you follow me. Now, let's think about what Jesus is saying here. So he says, if anyone would come after me, in other words, if you choose to follow Jesus, then he makes it very clear that there's only one way to follow Jesus. There's only one way to follow Jesus. It's not according to your preference. It's not according to what you think is best in your station or in your specific situation. Thinking that, you know what? Maybe if I had just scurried around these things, or maybe if I wasn't as obedient to these things that Jesus is challenging me, then somehow Jesus would understand. But Jesus says, no, if you would choose to follow me, in other words, he's saying, I am paving the way for you through this example that I'm setting, that you would deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. In other words, he's saying, you embrace in your life the example that I set for you. So let's think about what that means. Let him deny himself, right? Let him deny himself. That doesn't mean that you can't ever, I don't know, like eat your favorite food again, or you can't indulge in your favorite Netflix show. It doesn't mean that we can't do things that we want to do. Let him deny himself. It ultimately means that you place your saving trust in God. Because once again, Peter declares that you are the Messiah. You are the one who came to save us. And so Jesus says, if this is what you believe, then you deny yourself. In other words, you realize that you can't save yourself. That you trust, you place your trust in the saving grace of God. That the work of salvation is for God and God alone. And because you understand that, that you're willing to submit your life under God's leadership and direction. So let him deny himself doesn't mean that, you know, like you can't ever enjoy life. It means that you are submitting yourself under his leadership over your life, under his authority, and under the specific direction that he has for you, right? Because if you declare, Jesus, you are the Messiah, then it's the Messiah who calls all the shots in our lives. And so by us denying ourselves, Jesus is saying, hey, I'm calling the shots. Embrace that. And then he says, take up your cross daily. And so what does this picture of placing our lives, of placing our future, placing our hopes, what does that picture of really trusting in God and submitting under his leadership, what does that look like? And Jesus says, it looks like you taking up your cross daily. Now, in our society, we're not really familiar with this concept of the cross, right? But during Jesus' day, they would have been very familiar with the cross because it was the Roman government's means of executing criminals. And so Dr. John Piper, he points out, when the people were listening to Jesus saying, you carry your cross, there would have been four thoughts that would have immediately come into their minds. First of all, they would have understood that the cross, it represents opposition. Because it was the Romans opposing those who were condemned to die. And not only does the cross represent opposition, secondly, they would have understood that the cross represents shame. Because the cross was reserved for the worst criminals. It was a public display of shaming them. And not only shame, but they would have also understood suffering. That this kind of execution, it was developed to design to inflict the maximal amount of pain. And ultimately, the cross represented death. That it would have resulted in the death of someone who was hung on the cross. And so when Jesus says, take up your cross daily, I think what he means is this. That instead of treasuring your own life, that you embrace the way of opposition, shame, suffering, and death, because even above your own life, that you treasure me. And the reality is, when you think about this challenge that Jesus speaks very clearly into our life, the reason why we don't want to carry a cross is because we love our lives more. Because we treasure our comfort more. Because we treasure our ability to call the shots in our lives more. But when Jesus says, take up your cross, what he is saying is above your own life, you treasure me. And then he says, follow me. In other words, we embrace the example of Jesus who came to lay down his life for the sake of those who are undeserving of that life. That we follow his example. That we lay down our lives for the sake of those who are around you, who you think might be undeserving of your life, who might be undeserving of your future ambitions, who might be undeserving of your resources. And then listen to what Jesus says. He says, this is so important that you embrace my example because what? The only way for you to truly save your life is what? To lose it. He goes on and he says in verse 24, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. So what Jesus is doing, he's not telling you to deny yourself, to carry your cross daily and to follow him because, you know, he hates your guts. Like he wants to inflict the most misery. No, it's because he wants to breathe in you the most joy. Because he knows that you will never be able to save yourself. And he goes on and he says in verse 25, for what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses and forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. See, what Jesus has in mind is not just this earthly life that we're fighting so hard to live. But what Jesus has in mind is the eternal world that is to come. Eternal joy that God grants us. Eternal peace. He says to what? Deny ourselves. To take up the cross. And to follow him. To embrace the example that he has set for us. And I think this is how we continue to challenge one another. To think about beyond our lives. And to think about this great commission that Jesus has spoken into every single one of us. That the Great Commission is not just something that we do during one summer. But the Great Commission is for the rest of our lives. That as we see our Messiah and the example that he has set for us, that as we experience forgiveness and life from that example of Jesus' death and resurrection, that we're willing to say, God, I want to, for the rest of my life, go and embrace that example. That I want to go and make disciples of all nations. And so once again, the one thing for us is we must daily embrace Jesus' call for us to follow him. And so we want to dive a little bit deeper in the weeks to come of what this picture of embracing that great commission, what that's going to look like and what that's going to cost us. And so instead of thinking about what is it that we can do, I want to finish by what is it that we can focus on as we spend the next 4 weeks praying? And so weekly prayer focus for us for this week. So think about, first of all, the areas of your lives where you need to continue to trust in Jesus' work that saves and redeems you. Because it's not just about Jesus saying, hey, you go and you carry your cross. But it's Jesus reminding us, hey, this is the work that I've done. To save you, to redeem you. And the reality is that when it's really hard for us to trust in Jesus in these specific areas, maybe it has to do with your own ambitions, right? One of the things that we're going to be talking about is summer missions opportunities this upcoming summer, which means I know that especially for students, you're always wrestling with, is this the right time for me to go or not? Because the reality is that there's internship opportunities, there's summer classes and so forth. But the reality is, I don't know whether this is the right opportunity for you or not. And I'm not saying that this is going to be the only opportunity, but what I would encourage and challenge you to wrestle with is your understanding of, is Jesus the Messiah over things like your internship, over things like your academic opportunities? Can you really trust that if you are obedient to his calling for you, that he will continue to work to redeem your life? In what areas of your life, as a working adult, as students, as families, even with our struggles, do we need to continue to trust in Jesus' work that saves and redeems you? And not only that, secondly, I want us to pray about, in what areas of your life do you need to continue to obey Jesus' call to follow, to embrace the example that he sets for you, to follow him by daily picking up your cross? Because when you pick up your cross, first of all, it reminds you that Jesus loves you. It reminds you every single day that Jesus has given you his all, his best. And even as you strive and struggle at times to pick up your cross, it reminds you that even now, Jesus is cheering you on. And even as Jesus has given you his best, I think he is challenging us. Can you give me your best? Not your leftovers. Not after you've done the things that you wanted to do and achieve. But can you give Jesus your first fruits? In what areas of your life do you need to obey Jesus' call to follow? Let's stand together. Before we close out our time together, I just want to invite us. Can you take a moment? Can you take a moment to hear Jesus asking every single one of us this morning, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Do you really believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the only one who can save you and redeem you? And if you believe that, then how will you respond to his calling for you today to deny yourself, to trust in his work of salvation, to submit your life under his authority, his reign, his rule, and to pick up your cross daily, to embrace his work of salvation and his calling to send you out and follow him? So I'm just going to give us a moment to think through, wrestle through, to pray through that. And it's not just today, but for the next few weeks, we're going to come back to this over and over again. Jesus' great commission. Understanding that from everywhere to everywhere, that we are called to go and to make disciples. that starts by every single one of us wrestling with this question of who do you say that I am? Because his calling for us to deny ourselves, to pick up the cross, to follow him, that's a response to us declaring, Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are my Savior. So can we do that, church, for a little bit? Pray, meditate, let the Spirit of God speak to us, and then after a little bit, our band will lead us in time of closing. Let's do that, church. Let's respond.